Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the See My School of Christ. And we're going to go ahead and continue with our class, The Great Mercy of God. We didn't have a class last week. I can't remember if the week before either. I'm not sure. I got a cold, excuse me. And Lord willing, I'm over that, but I think I still have a little bit of a cough here and there. So hopefully it won't be that distracting during the class if I go into a coughing fit. Now I've got several cough drops right here, one that I have in my mouth. Hopefully that'll help out through this class. Excuse me. But during the time that I've basically been resting, and the times that I wasn't asleep or resting, that I could actually, you know, think and function to some degree, I just kind of was reading passages and considering phrases that we're currently looking at. The past couple of classes we've been looking at El Shaddai, which is the first mention of this name in the scripture in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And so I was kind of just looking at considering that and looking at the phrase or the word patriarchs, and I think the phrase God of our fathers. God of our Father. And so, excuse me, just looking at passages in the scripture and considering those, and I'm still considering those, I'd like to just share a little bit today concerning the term patriarchs. I do have some actual definitions for the term that I may or may not, possibly more than likely, we won't be looking at today, maybe our coming class, next coming class. But the term patriarchs is mainly found in the New Testament. Excuse me. And There's a few references that I did jot down concerning the term patriarch. And basically, the majority of them say the main patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Others consider the 12 sons of Jacob as the patriarchs as well. Excuse me. Another passage in the New Testament that we'll probably look at considered or speaks of David as being a patriarch. And so I considered these different ones, excuse me, and just kind of the common link between them. And if anything, the main thing that linked all these people was that God Himself was the one who initiated everything in their existence. But not only that, because that is true of all believers, not only that, but they were aware of it. And that's a huge difference right there. Huge, huge. When you look at the founding fathers, when you look at the patriarchs, when you look at the fathers, there's something essential and fundamental with those terms. And that's basically this, is that God Himself made Himself known unto these in a particular manner, in a particular way, wherein they would not relate apart from God. Or let me say it this way, I didn't say it that correctly. They would not relate to God according to something else. All right? (Clears throat) as we saw in our past classes, El Shaddai, all sufficient, all powerful, almighty, all encompassing, everything. These patriarchs, these certain ones, they found everything that they ever needed in terms of the eternal, excuse me, in terms of God himself, in terms of their own welfare, their own being. They found everything they ever needed in a person. In a person. Excuse me. These were not men who adopted or learned a new teaching or a new message. These were not like the Greeks that Paul dealt with, that wanted to hear the newest thing or something new, that were so engulfed in natural knowledge. No, the patriarchs were not like that. The patriarchs, listen, did not have the scriptures. There were no scriptures in the time of the patriarchs. Now I'm speaking specifically of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Excuse me. The actual scriptures were written later by the Lord through Moses. This is after the Exodus. So they had nothing to go with, unlike us of today. Now there's pluses and there's minuses to that. excuse me. The minus is you may not have a clue of what is going on at all. And yet the Lord is fully aware of what is going on. And what I mean by that is, let's say the Lord is trying to direct a believer in a particular way. The believer, of course, has no clue. They're used to going this way, this route, and for a time and a season, that was fine with the Lord. But now the Lord is, shall we say, refining, fine-tuning the walk, narrowing it down, let's say, making it more narrow. And so a lot of times we have no clue what's going on, and but the Lord does. And see, that would be kind of like in the sense with the patriarchs. They had nothing to refer to and say, oh, okay, this is what God's doing here, or oh, okay, this is what's going on right now. They had to, in fact, rely upon the Lord. They had to trust a living, a real trust in the Lord. Now, excuse me, one thing about having the scriptures is not so that we can go to the scriptures and say, oh, okay, this is what I'm going through at the time, or this is the season that I'm in at the time, or this is what God is speaking to me, to my heart at the time, or this is what I'm learning now, or this is what God is teaching me, or this is what. We tend to do that a lot. We have a more Westerner approach, I guess, to the scriptures. It's more of I would say like the Greeks, it's this more head knowledge. We want to learn things. We want to discover new teachings or solidify teachings that we already know, and then we want to make them work. We want to apply them. And see, that's what the majority of believers, that's what we do. We take something, okay, I found something here, now I need to apply it. It's always self-application. That's all that we want to do. Because very sadly, we're engulfed in ourselves and we're self-focused. So we want everything to apply to us, even the scriptures. Well, remember John chapter 5, verse 39 and verse 40. The scriptures apply to one. That's Christ himself. And the thing with the patriarchs, they walked, they were not only found in, but they actively walked in a relationship with God. The Lord had brought them each one by one into a relationship with himself in which they themselves walked in. They didn't learn about this relationship. They didn't study about this relationship from books or whatever, from what they had available. Remember, there was nothing available. All they had to go by was what the Lord spoke and when the Lord appeared. That is all that they had to go by. Everything else, listen, everything else, in fact, everything was a walk of faith. Seeing the unseen, seeing what could not be seen by the natural eye. And they walked in fellowship with God on their part, okay? Because the Lord had brought them into his fellowship, and that was solid, and that was concrete, already established. But for their hearts to walk in what the Lord had already brought them in, that's what they did. Specifically the three patriarchs, none of them built cities. None of them built capitals, excuse me, houses. No, there was none of that. They lived in tents. They found their abode. They found their dwelling place. They found, listen, their home somewhere else. They found it in the Lord himself. Remember, everything, these men, everything that they ever needed, would ever need, they themselves found in the Lord himself. Listen, and they were content with that. Talk about a work of God in the heart. They were content with that. Walking in a living fellowship, in a living relationship with a living God. Walking in faith. Walking in purpose. Yes, walking in purpose. So, excuse me, just these things and more of others that we're going to cover during this class were really grabbing my attention. Because we are prone to going to the scriptures, and I say it, we, myself included, all of us, we all do this. We're prone to going to the scriptures with a desire to learn and see all that's accurate, all that's good, except that the Lord created it as such. That desire, that expectation is there in our hearts of God himself. But what we are to learn in the scriptures is not things, people, places, things, times, events, seasons, applications, but a person. A person. It does not require God to learn about peoples, places, things, times, events, seasons, and then to practically apply all of that It doesn't require God for any of that. Even heathens can learn all of that by studying the scriptures. What does require God and God himself is to know a person, is to know Christ himself. This requires God. No man knoweth the Father but the Son, and no man knoweth the Son save the Father, and he unto whom he will reveal him. Actually, I'm not sure if I said it in order. Well, let me look real quick. I know that sometimes I say the order of that verse wrong. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 11. Yeah, I did say it wrong. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. This is Jesus himself speaking. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. There you go. No man knows the Son but the Father. And no man knows the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And then Jesus says this, look, come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. So, back with the patriarchs, that is the one thing that all these men had in common, even including David. Because, yes, David in Acts chapter 2, they address David as being one of the patriarchs. And see, I'll just mention this real quick because it's on my heart. Why David? David was not the first king of Israel. Why does it mention David as being one who's a patriarch? Why not King Saul? Right? I mean, here's Abram, the first quote-unquote father, the first patriarch. Why not Saul, the first king? Once again, the patriarchs walked in a living fellowship, in a living relationship with the living God, realizing in an ongoing way, in a real way, that they had no ability within themselves whatsoever for anything. For anything. Abraham. Let's look at Abraham. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Genesis chapter 17. At this point, Abraham already has a son. His name is Ishmael. This happened in Genesis chapter 16. Ishmael is what man can do. Man's ability. But see, by this point, you would think that Abraham, or Abram, his name is still Abram right now, about to change, but right now, Abram. At this point, you would think that Abram knew that he could do nothing, that he was completely without power for anything, not even to sustain himself, not even to sustain others around him, not even, excuse me, in what he considered to be what God had promised. But see, that's the thing. That's the thing. That is one of the things that lingers within us still. We still think that we still have some ability whatsoever to do something. And yet, concerning that which is of eternal weight, eternal value, we have no ability whatsoever. Concerning that which is God, we have no ability whatsoever. But we are convinced, we're still convinced, that we can. I want to read just a few passages here. The first one is Genesis chapter 15, verse 7. And we've read these before, but it's good to just look at them again, especially right here in context with El Shaddai, the Lord making himself known to the first patriarch. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. I am the Lord. I brought thee to give thee. I did this. Another passage in Joshua, chapter 24, verses 1 through 3. And Joshua gathered, and see, excuse me, all the times when the Lord is making himself known as either El Shaddai, or the God of your fathers, or the God of your father, or the God of the patriarchs, the majority of the times, if not all, when this knowing of the Lord is coming into view, it's usually at a point, at a time, when either a believer or a group of believers are about to take a step in faith, a step in relationship, a step in living relationship, living fellowship with the Lord that they've not taken before. Or that is continuing on in a stronger manner that was not there before. This is Joshua chapter 24, verse 1. This is right when the children of Israel are basically going in and taking the land. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the leaders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. See? Not apart from the Lord. Not having a meeting and let's talk about God. No. Let's get together and we come before the Lord himself. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old times, Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. I did this. They all served other gods, idols, idol worshippers. And I stepped in and I brought Abram to the true living God. Nehemiah. Here's chapter 9. Let's start with verse 6. Thou art God, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all. And the host of heaven worship thee. Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abram and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and gavest him the name of Abraham. You chose him, and you brought him forth, and you changed his name. And finally, this other passage right here in Acts chapter 7, starting with verse 2. And he said, Men, brethren, fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into a land I will show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from thence, when his father was dead, he, the God of glory, removed him, Abram, into this land wherein you now dwell. Something very significant. God is the one who is doing at all times. The difference with the patriarchs, they recognize the one who is doing. They begin to recognize the one who is doing. Remember, Genesis chapter 17, let me get back there. Genesis chapter 17, up until this time, in regard to continuing in purpose, in regard to specifically the seed, the heir, and the inheritance, Abraham has before his natural eyes what he believes what God had promised. Man's ability, man's doing. Because the timing of man is always, but the timing of God is the time of life. Man would ask, man would say, well, how long is it going to take, Lord? Lord's response would be something like, as long as it takes for it to be life. The Lord continued faithful, even though we would have a false object before us. Man's own creation, bearing man's own image. But see, the Lord steps in, not man's image, but God's image. Not man's creation, but God's creation. And when we start settling down and getting comfortable with what we have, listen, learned and applied, the Lord steps in. Because it's not about learning and applying. It's about continuing walking in this fellowship, in this relationship with the living God. Something real. I like to refer to the Apostle Paul, because we think that he was just this great theologian. Oh, he's just a great teacher. He could expound on the scriptures, and he could just go to the Old Testament and declare Christ and all this stuff, and he could do this, he could do that. He spoke to leaders, he spoke to the Jews, he spoke to the Gentiles. But see, we forget that all that this person did and was recorded of him, all that he spoke, came out from a living relationship. A real relationship with the living God. The patriarchs. I mentioned, and forgive me, I can't remember if I mentioned it during this class or not, but I'm thinking about it. Right here, when the Lord makes himself known to Abram as El Shaddai, it is, how shall we say, at the foundation of what the Lord himself is about to bring about. It is at the foundation, the core, for Abram, to know the Lord in this manner. Because to some degree, Ishmael, we say Abram knew the Lord, and the Lord can help. And the result, Ishmael. At this juncture, the Lord steps in and begins to declare what Abram cannot help with at all. And I think we read that in Romans. Abraham, as good as dead. Sarah, her womb, as good as dead as well. Where it's something real with God. I can't help anymore, Lord. There's no ability in me anymore, Lord, regarding this. I've already done what I can do. And it's obviously not what you wanted, because you're still declaring the same. Though I look here and I say, here it is. And yet you speak as though it is not what I see before me, my natural eyes. You speak what I see not, but what is ever before you. This has to be the fathers, patriarchs, fathers, yes, this has to be established. With the time of Abram, it was the father of a household, a tribe, and it just kind of works out from there. Household, tribe, nation. Household, tribe, nation. And this that the Lord established in Abram's heart would be that which he submitted to throughout the rest of his walk with the Lord. Remember Isaac, when the Lord took Isaac to, the Lord had Abram take Isaac to offer him on Mount Moriah. And Isaac asked, okay, we have the wood, we've got the fire, where's the sacrifice? Abram's response is, the Lord himself will provide the sacrifice. And so we read that and we just pass by it. There was one part that is essential to all of this, that is critical to all of this that the Lord hath declared, and the Lord alone can do it. Concerning houses, when a person is, I'll just say this, when a person is looking at a house, the average person will probably look and consider the outside, the exterior, what can be seen at first glance, the paint, the color of the paint, the walls, the trim, maybe the roof, the color of the roof, just everything that immediately grabs the attention. But the average person will not consider the foundation. Now, a person who works in construction, that would probably be the very first thing they consider, is the foundation. Because if the foundation is good, then everything else that is built upon it, you can work with. The foundation is what is not always seen by the natural eye. And what foundation is there or is not there? Remember, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, patriarchs, founding fathers, something very foundational. And when we think of the word foundational, we think of, oh, it's something building blocks, something very basic, something very, listen, simple. And we don't, we look at things like that, ah, well, that's just for babies. That's not for the more more educated ones of us. And yet, at the foundation is found the core of everything. The foundation is that upon which the entire structure either stands or falls. The Lord making himself known as the very foundation of that which he has declared. Therefore, it will stand. I wanted to just read, I've got passages here. This is Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 through 27. And I was just considering this about building the house upon a rock. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Many will say to me, Jesus, in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful things. Look at all that is done, Lord, in your name. Look at all that we have done, Lord, in your name. Abram could have very well said, look, O Lord, what we've done in your name. Listen to this. Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. The foundation of a living relationship was not established in the heart. Therefore, you did not walk with me in fellowship. You did not walk with me in relationship, but you went your own way and did your thing. Relationship. A living relationship. A living fellowship. Brothers and sisters, please listen to me. Do not misunderstand. Please listen. At the moment of new birth, God himself, by his Spirit, has brought our soul into a living relationship with himself. Into a living fellowship with himself. Which relationship, which fellowship is Christ himself, the foundation of the entirety of it. Stable, complete, secure. We can very well say, it's finished. And yet, what of our heart? Our heart. That which motivates us. What of our heart? Is our heart walking in that relationship that we've already been brought into by the Spirit of God at the moment of new birth? Or is our heart walking somewhere else outside of purpose? Where is our heart directed? Is our heart directed to the one upon which the whole entirety of that which is of God is founded upon? Christ himself? Or is our heart found where it is not? Going on, Matthew chapter 7, this is verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Excuse me. To me, basically, the one who continues in relationship is like the one who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, excuse me, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The sand, in a different gospel, it says the earth. Excuse me. I hiccuped and coughed. Coughed and hiccuped. Linked unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, upon the earth, upon man. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Excuse me. Once again, though, please do not misunderstand. I am not saying stop reading your Bible. That is not what I'm saying. I am not saying throw away your Bible. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that our Bibles are the scriptures given of God because they are the testimony of Jesus Christ. And that testimony is designed of God to direct our heart unto the person of Christ himself, that we may find everything of God that we are looking for in a person. That is what I am saying. We have the scriptures to find the Lord in them, to find a real living person, not to find a teaching, not to find a message, not to find a sermon, not to find something we can do. No, to find a person. It's very simple, very foundational. Just real quick, as I had mentioned, everything that the Apostle Paul did, declared, wrote, preached, taught, was founded upon Christ being revealed in him, in his heart of God. It was based upon a true living fellowship with the living God, an active walk of faith. Excuse me. That's found in Galatians chapter 1. Another thing that that he mentioned was in Galatians, the gospel that I preach wasn't declared to me by man. I didn't learn it from man, but it came by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Going on. In this one's heart, God himself revealed the foundation. Therefore, in his heart, he submitted to that which governs the house of God. He submitted to the government of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 through 11, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth upon thereon, buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for no other foundation, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. From the very beginning of the whole structure, the laying of the foundation. And I think in Chronicles and Kings concerning the foundation, the temple, it declares about laying the foundation. Very, very important. Excuse me. Very important. This has to be established. This everything else of God will be upon this one foundation. Concerning, well, I'll go back to David. Think of David and Goliath. Now, either David was crazy, or he trusted in the Lord to such a degree that David found his strength, his ability, his everything, his protection in the Lord himself. Going up against terrible odds that could be calculated. Yet something was established in his heart of the Lord. Something real. David, knowing the Lord in a particular manner that books could not make known. I know my time's running out. I want to read just a couple of the verses that I found in, let me read Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 through 8. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. I am El Shaddai, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. Here the Lord makes himself known to Abram, the patriarch, in regard to purpose. The seed, the heir, increase, the covenant, the land, and the inheritance. It's always in regard to purpose, always in regard to purpose. With Moses, when the Lord calls Moses, sends him to the children of Israel in Egypt, The Lord says, tell them that the God of your father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has appeared. This same one has appeared. The God of the patriarchs has appeared. The God of the fathers has appeared. The living God has appeared. The one and only living God has appeared. All right, this is Acts chapter 2, verse 29. This is concerning David, who knew the Lord, listen, as his rock. The Lord is my rock. I shall not be moved. I shall not be shaken. He has placed my feet upon a rock. A real relationship, not one based upon academic knowledge, but one based upon the Lord Himself. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I need not want for anything, for He is everything. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my strength. It goes on and on. David, Acts chapter 2, verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Concerning the 12 patriarchs, Acts chapter 7, verse 8 and 9. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision, this is Abraham. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. And Joseph is also considered a patriarch. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 4, concerning Abraham, the patriarch. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils, the tithe, as concerning Melchizedek. Romans chapter 9, verse 3 through 5. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers. In a different translation, it says patriarchs, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So just in, I know my time's up, just in considering the term patriarchs, the Lord makes himself known, made himself known unto these in a particular manner that was so critical to the rest. It was critical for Jacob to know that his father Abraham, yes, his father Abraham, knew the Lord in a particular manner. It was critical for Isaac to know that his father Abraham knew the Lord in a particular manner. And the Lord makes it so to them. I am the God of your father Abraham. I am the God of your father Isaac. I am the God of your father Abraham and Isaac. Very foundational in the heart of these to where they can respond, okay, I may not fully know you, but I know you can be trusted. When the Lord sent Moses to the children of Israel who were in Egypt, the God of our fathers appeared unto me, the God of our father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now he has their attention. It's not just some, oh, okay, Moses is here to speak to us. No. This one is here speaking purpose. This one is here in purpose and declaring purpose. Excuse me. Just in closing here, like I said, a lot of this has just been on my heart concerning the patriarchs, concerning a critical knowing of the Lord that is necessary for the development of our walk on our end with the Lord and continuing on in purpose and narrowing the way and us continuing in the narrow way. at different points, as I mentioned, that in our own walks, the Lord makes himself known in such a way that it's real. And because of that, we can take a step where we could not have before, where we can go on in the Lord in a real way. So I hope this made a little bit of sense. Like I said, I'm still looking at this passage right here in Genesis chapter 17. I'm still considering the patriarchs. I'm still considering the founding fathers and just kind of seeing how and when they're mentioned in the scripture, the context of when they're mentioned, excuse me, everything foundational for the body to believe the head. Everything for the believers to believe the Lord and go on in Him. So we'll continue in our next class. We'll actually probably look at some definitions that I didn't get to this class, but I just did want to cover it and just mention it in a general way, just that it being something very foundational. And by foundational, I mean, even the Apostle Paul said it, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. The foundation has been placed. The foundation who is Christ Jesus himself. And we think of as something so simple and minute, and yet he is the chief cornerstone, a rock of stumbling and a stone of offense, because we overlook him in everything. And yet the Lord does not. The Lord establishes, excuse me, makes known that foundation in our heart, whereupon everything else, our whole walk, will then depend. A walk of faith, a walk in a living fellowship, in a living relationship with the living God. A living, and I stress that, living, because it is not a religious thing where you can clock in on Sunday and clock out, do your time, and you know, go the rest of the week, do your thing, and then you just clock back in and clock back out. No. No. With the Lord, it is a living thing. Something that will radically change the whole makeup of a situation. So, may the Holy Spirit just continue to prepare the ground of our heart to know the Lord in this way, in a way that we have not known before, in probably the most critical way there is. We're discovering not I, but Christ. Not my ability, but the Lord's ability. Not my concept of what the Lord hath spoken, excuse me, but the substance, Christ himself, of what the Lord himself has spoken. So I'll let you go for this class. We'll see you in our next class. Lord bless. Amen.